This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
So I'm so glad you're here today. Man, it's awesome. It's a great day to be here. Can anybody say hallelujah? I mean, is it, come on, right? Last week we talked about it, right? Hallelujah. I mean, it just simply means I am grateful in all seasons, right? Doesn't matter. You ever been in church and you hear somebody say hallelujah, and you're like, man, that's kind of weird. What does that mean? You know, well, hallelujah just simply means, hey, I'm thankful and grateful in all seasons. And so hopefully you can say that today. We've been talking in our church about movement and kind of just vision casting, laying out some thoughts of where we're going and what we want to do. And I think it really all surrounds around the ability to move in all seasons and all things. Can we move, no matter taking out all of what you've been taught, you've learned, and your preferences and all those things, and saying, hey, I'm gonna jump on what God is doing, and I'm going to move with him. And so today I want to kind of continue with that theme of movement and maybe just bring it at a little different angle for you this morning. So hopefully you're ready for this. And I believe this. I think movement is always surrounded around time. For instance, you ask yourself questions like, is it time to move? You know, when do we move? How do we move? It's always surrounded around time, and time dictates that. And sometimes we experience a disconnect with time. Like, for instance, anybody ever woke up and didn't realize what day it is? I'm the only one. All right, okay. You ever wake up and go, what is it, Friday? Is it Saturday? Or maybe you're like, what time is it? Like, you ever been to that place where you're like, oh my gosh, it's 4 o'clock. I didn't even realize what time it is. And then you ask yourself, where has the time gone? All right. Where has the time gone? And you're at that place and you're not alone. And in other words, what we do tells us what time it is, but also what time it is tells us what we do. So for example, if I tell you it's 12 p.m., you might say to yourself, well, it's lunchtime. If I tell you that it's 10 p.m., you might say, well, it's bedtime. And some of you are like, well, it's way earlier than that, brother. And or way later than that, brother. If I told you it's Sunday, hopefully most of you would say, well, it's time to go to church, right? If I told you it was Monday, you would say, oh, man, I got to go to work. Except for tomorrow. Come on, praise the Lord. It's President's Day, right? Thank you for a president doing something good for us. So I'm not saying that. I don't get in politics, man. Don't get me wrong. Amen. This is why we have calendars. This is why we have schedules. This is why we have routines, right? This is why we literally have planners on our phone. How many got a planner on your phone? You know exactly what you're counting. All right. It literally brings order. It brings structure. It brings guidance. It brings direction to our lives. It tells us what time it is, right? But what happens when your calendar gets canceled? Or what happens when your schedule gets all shaken up? Or what happens when your routine gets totally rocked? Or when your plans get postponed? It's not just time we lose track of, but many times we feel like, you know, we feel lost ourselves. Wait, my routine's changed. My calendar's changed. I feel lost. What do I do now? I don't want to bring back because it's like PTSD, but like when COVID was going on, right, and you had to stay in your home, studies say we lost track of time. Like we didn't even know what day it was, what time it was. Some of you didn't take a shower for a week. I mean, you just didn't know. And because your routine was changed. Everything about your identity was taken from you and everything changed and we didn't know how to handle ourselves. And I think there's a lot of people in this season of life today who are feeling a bit lost. There are people maybe in the room today who are feeling a little bit confused, who are feeling maybe things are being taken from you, or more importantly, maybe there's this feeling in your life that just you feel a little bit uncertain. There's just not a certainty that's growing up in your life. And so let me bring this home to you. We all have weird sleeping habits. You know that? Like everyone in this room has some weird sleeping habit. Like I've heard some of you sleepwalk, right? Some of you talk in your sleep. Don't be nudging your neighbor and going, that's you, bro, you know? Some of you talk in your sleep. Some of you, you know, flail your arms just for no reason in the middle of the night, right? And your wife or spouse ends up with a bruise. Some of you just sit up for no reason. You ever been with somebody like that? Like, whoa, bro, what's happening here? Like, just sit up. And my son sleeps with his eyes barely open, like these slits in his eyes. It's creepy, y'all. I'll take a picture and show it on the big screen sometime. You feel like, is he looking at us? Like, wow, weird. And I pride myself on being a normal sleeper, right? Until years ago, I don't know if any of you are like this, but I like to watch like wildlife programs on TV, like National Geographic. I mean, nothing excites me more than watching a lion eat a gazelle. Not gazelle, but a gazelle, okay? All right. I love to watch, I mean, that's really cool to watch something like that happen. And I don't know, that's kind of weird, I know. But I like these wildlife programs. And one day I was watching like this National Geographic show and I watched a show on snakes, on venomous snakes, right? And it rocked me. And I went to bed that night and I dreamed about snakes. Like snakes were striking at me, right? And in the middle of my sleep, I'm like shaking all over the place. I'm trying to run in bed. You ever try to do that? And like trying to run away. And my wife is like, she's waking up and she's like, what's wrong? She's shaking me. Are you okay? I mean, it was violent. And that's normal, right? You watch something crazy, you go to sleep, you're normal. But here's what's not normal. Ever since that time years ago, probably once a month, Kim has to wake me up because I'm dreaming that snakes are striking me. That's not normal. Like all the time, she's like, oh, what is going on with you? I'm like, they're attacking me. Listen, y'all, we've tried essential oils. You know that stuff, demonic. And so we've tried essential oils. I've tried vitamins. I've even tried watching shows about nice snakes. You know, the snakes that don't hurt you. Like maybe I'll just say, it doesn't work. It doesn't help me, right? It's an irrational fear, but it's surrounded in uncertainty. It's surrounded in uncertainty. And can I tell you something today? I want you to get this. I think the greatest hindrance to movement, the greatest hindrance to movement for us is uncertainty. Uncertainty will paralyze you. It will keep you from moving. If I move, we ask questions, well, what will happen? And if I give God my life, there's uncertainty to that. Like, what will I lose if I give my life to him? Like, if I move, what do I have to give up in order to move? It's just uncertain. And we get uncertain of what time it is. And we try to ask ourselves, okay, is this a time to move, push forward? Or is this a time to fall back? And we look at our church and our lives and we wonder, you know, if things are good, should we just stay where we are? Or, you know, maybe we should be chasing something. Is there something we should be going after? And we got people here today, even in this room today, who are living in an uncertain time. Not just about life choices, because we always have life choices are surrounded around uncertainty. But many of us are uncertain about the spiritual choices that we need to make for our lives. We just aren't sure. Do I change or do I stay where I'm at? Am I okay with everything? Or could there be areas of my life that it's time for me to change? It's such a hard question to answer because these are uncertain times. We are living in uncertain times, and so many people think they have the answer for your uncertainty, right? And I think God wants me to tell you this morning that maybe it's time for you to move. And you're like, well, move where? Maybe you and I should move to a place where we're okay with uncertainty. Like we're okay. You know, maybe we should move to a place where we lean in and we embrace the uncertainty of our lives. Because we don't like that, right? Because we're Americans and we like to know the comfortability. That's what we've been provided with our whole lives and everything is accessible to us like this. And so uncertainty is not a comfortable place. But yet maybe God's saying, listen, in these days you're living in, I want you to embrace and be comfortable with uncertainty. Because I believe this, when things are uncertain, when things aren't going as planned, when things aren't comfortable in your life, I think something happens inside of us and we become more aware to the things around us. When things are uncertain, maybe, just maybe, that's where God can do the greatest works in your life, is when you're just uncertain, when you just don't know. In fact, that word aware is such a key thing because, hear me, I think our world right now is in the midst of uncertainty. And yet in the midst of that uncertainty, God is moving. If you just turn on the news, if you're that person, you can see where Pastor Steve kind of alluded to, but there's movements of God popping up all over the place. And yet here's the world, here's my fear, is that there's a world that says, man, God is moving. I'm hungry for that. I want to experience that. And there's a church that's attacking it. Because sometimes the church doesn't like uncertainty. We like to put everything in a box. We like God in a box, and he should act this way, and he should talk this way, and he should do this, and he should do that. We put it in this box, and yet God is moving across our country. And here's the deal. I believe, even in our own state, in our own city, our own county, I believe there is a hunger for the spiritual. But here's the reality. It's like, what is the spiritual? And I don't know about you, but I want to be a place where people can come and experience what they're hungry for. I want to be a church where, hey, you're uncertain about something. I know this God who is certain. I know this God who doesn't change. He's a God that is certain. Hear me, I think that the greatest fear, the greatest disservice that we can do is that we, the church, would not understand the times. That's the greatest fear, the greatest disservice is that we as the church would not understand the times. Listen, I just encourage you, we should be concerned. We should be aware. We should be moved that something is off. Something is not lining up. We should be moved with the fact that God is real, right? God is desiring more from you and that God is desiring more from us. And I just wrote it down this way. I think what frees you is not the changing of the times, but what will free you is the understanding of the times. Sometimes we think, well, if I just, the times are changing and I'll just get on that ride and it will free me. It'll give me peace. It'll take all the things away. But I actually think what frees us is understanding of the times. And I want to help you understand the time and the season that you and I are living in, not just so that you can make the most of it, make most of the time that we're living in, but that so that you can embrace it, so that you can lean into it. And then ultimately that we as followers of Christ, whether you are or not, you can move. I want to read a story out of the Bible to you real quick, and it's if you're new to church, or even if you're not new to church, this might not be a story that you've read all the time or something that just jumped out to you, so maybe it'll be new to you, but I want to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. It's in the Old Testament. If you have a copy of God's Word, you can use it. If not, we have it right here on the screen ready for you. And it says, when Athaliah, the mother of Uzziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy, get this, the whole royal family of the house of Judah. So I just want to pause there and you're like, okay, what is this whole thing? What's going on? Now, Isaiah was the son of David. He was one of David, King David. If you ever heard the Old Testament, the guy that killed Goliath, you know, that dude, this was one of his sons. Isaiah was one of his sons, and he was part of the lineage, you know, of David going down the line. And Athaliah was his mother. And when Isaiah died, Athaliah, his mother, saw an opportunity to consolidate power. In other words, she saw an opportunity like, I can take this whole thing over. I'll reign this thing. And so she said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill every son of David. Because if you were in the line of David, if you were one of David's sons, no matter what happened to that son, the next son, if you were in the line, eventually you could be or would be the next king of Judah. And so her idea was like, hey, I'm going to wipe out every son. I'm going to wipe out the whole lineage, and I will consolidate power to me. So she went to kill all the sons of David, which, by the way, what makes it even more scary is all of these sons were her grandsons. She was hungry. So she went out, and she went out to take them all just so she could be the only one in power. And so the people of Judah, right, they saw this. They saw the entire Davidic line, all of David's kids. They saw them being wiped out. And this literally freaks all the people of Judah out. They're like, what is going on? And for them, you got to understand, because the Davidic lineage for them, every one of those kids, it was not just a dynasty. It was a destiny for them. Like this meant something to them. They had to look through the David line, because here's the deal. Out of the Davidic line, the Bible tells us, would come the Messiah. They knew this. Judah knew that there was a prophecy that out of David's line would become the Messiah, who we would eventually know as Jesus Christ. And they're like, look, hey, if they wipe out the whole line, this is supposed to be David's lineage. This is the savior of the world is supposed to come from this lineage. And now they're wiping out every one of his kids. So you have to see it from their perspective, right? They think if all of David's children are wiped out, here's what they thought. Then that means all the promises that God has spoken over us had just come to an end. Everything that God said he was going to do in our lives, it was over. Every good thing that God said he would do in our lives, every dream we had, it's over. Movement has stopped. Where are we going to move? There's nothing's going to happen. It's over for us. Here's what I'm trying to tell you today. For the people of Judah, it wasn't just uncertain times. For them, it was end times. It was over. Life as they knew it was over. And can I tell you something this morning? One of the best things you can do to navigate uncertain times in your life, you have to keep the uncertain times from converting into end times. You know what I'm talking about. Like somebody's like, oh, our church is changing. It's over. It's all over. You know, my health is bad. It's the end of my life. You know, my relationship is falling apart with so-and-so, so my life is over. It's done. There's no more left for me. And I don't feel God in my life, so it just must mean that either God's not real or he doesn't care about me. And what I have found is that and discovered is that trauma of a catastrophe is not in the catastrophe itself. It's not the catastrophe in itself. It's the catastrophic thinking that follows. It's all over. We're never going to be successful. I never can move on from here. My life is over. And it's not bad things that happen to you. It's when the bad things that happen to you, all of a sudden you begin to think it's the end. There's nothing left for me. I'm done. I'll never be good again. Life is just over. Listen, you have to prevent uncertain times to become in your reality. You have to prevent uncertain times from becoming your narrative. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You ever heard of Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? Come on, who's heard of Eeyore, right? Like, I'll never be like it was before. Life is over. You remember the good old days, Pooh? I'll never find love. I'll never find happiness. I'll never get better. Might as well not even try. It's just over. You can't always prevent catastrophe. And catastrophe is different for everyone, right? Because some of you, just the fact that you rolled out on the wrong side of the bed is a catastrophe, right? You can't prevent it. You can't always prevent catastrophe, but you can prevent catastrophe thinking. You can prevent that, right? If for any other reason, because we serve a God who holds uncertainty in his hands. If for any other reason, nothing catches God off guard, right? He is certain of everything. And I hate to admit it, but many times my mind, I don't know about you, if you're one of those people, my mind goes to the uncertain things, the worst case scenario. Like I love roller coasters, but I won't ride one because I'm always afraid it's gonna break down while I'm on it. And who wants to be stuck upside down for an hour, right? I don't wanna be on the newscast. Look at this dude hanging, you know? I don't want that for me. That's a worst case scenario. I remember we were newly married. Our first apartment complex we lived in, we lived on the back side of it. And back then, they didn't believe about lighting at night and all that kind of things. And so, I mean, I said to my wife, I planned out our get into apartment plan. Like in other words, I'm going to walk backwards, you walk frontwards, right? And we'll make sure. And then at a certain point, let's run as quick as we can, right? And then I'll be the last one in and I'll shut it quick and lock the door, right? We had a whole plan and she's looking at me like, you're crazy. What's happened to you in your life that's made you like this? We don't like uncertainty. I grew up in Florida, loved it, man. And as teenagers, we did crazy things. And one of my friends, this is honestly a true story, took a concrete like that they had used to put like dogs, puppies in and stuff. And he caught an alligator and he put it in this like embankment. And so we get in there with this alligator. And if you don't know anything, and I'm telling you the truth, if you don't know this, I'll bring an alligator to church next week. But anyway, if you turn an alligator over and you rub its belly, it goes to sleep. It's true. So we got it over, we're rubbing its belly, and then we looked at each other and said, okay, but once you stop rubbing, guess what? It wakes up quickly. So we're both on our hands and knees, we're rubbing this gator's belly, and we looked at each other and said, okay, on the count of three, we're going to jump out of here. Right? And so we're like, shh, shh, one, two, three, and we jump out and hit each other. We didn't tell each other who's jumping what way. This is true. I am not lying about this story. We hit each other and both fell back into this tank with this gator. Now, it didn't take much to get out. That's when the Jesus moment takes over in your life and you're up quick. But it was uncertain for about 3 seconds. What's going to happen right now? I'm one of those people, worst case scenario. Listen, the people of Judah went to that place. They went to that place of end times. They lost track of the time because they lost track of the promise because they looked at what they saw. And hear me, You got to get this morning. They brought the promise of God, that God would send a deliverer, that God would provide for them. They brought the promise of God down to the level of their predicament. They made their predicament and God's promise equal. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't allow your promise, you can't allow the things that God has for your life to sink down to the level of your predicament. God has bigger things for you. He has bigger promises for your life. He's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your preferences. He is bigger than your predicament, right? You have to lift up your predicament to the level of his promise. You have to do that. You cannot trust what you see all the time. Hear me. There's two times a year where my microwave and my car lie to me. Every year, two times a year. It happens on the two same days every year. It's called daylight savings time. Two times a year, I walk into my kitchen and my microwave lies to me. It's off. I go into my car and the time is off. And it's always by an hour. It's lying to me. And then once I see that the time is off, you know what I do? I check my phone. Because my phone don't lie. How many of your phone doesn't know it doesn't lie, right? And I check my phone and I have to adjust what I see to what I know to be true. I have to adjust what I see to what I know to be true. My phone automatically adjusts. I'm going to adjust what I see to my connection. Can you adjust what you see to what God says for your life? What are you connected to? If you are connected to God, you can adjust what you see, what you can adjust what you feel to his promises and to him. Because you know what? God is automatic. I don't have to question his promises for myself. I don't have to, all I have to do is adjust. I have to adjust where my hope and where my trust lies. And if God told you that he has plans for your life, if he's told you that he has still has plans for our church, then I don't care what I see, I don't care what I feel or what I experience, I can know that his plans for me are true. In other words, I'm going to adjust. I'm going to align my life with his word. I'm gonna align my life with his promises. I can't afford to do the reverse. You have to be careful what you see and you hear. When I was, this song is way too, you guys are way too young for this, all right? But when I was a little kid, there was a little kid song that we sang in children's church, and it just simply went like this. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. You don't know that song, right? So I'm the only one. I'm the only one who loves Jesus from a child. The rest of you are. Bow your heads with me, the whole place. You all need Jesus right now, okay? If you don't know that song, you're lost. All right, so listen, I'm just encouraging us this. Don't put your hope in a news story. Don't put your hope in gossip and slander. Don't let what you see on social media become your gospel. Here's even more important. Don't let what your friends and family tell you about the day and the age that you're living in and convince you that the promises of God have ceased, because they have not ceased. Don't move down to that level. You've got to lift it up to God's word. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're in life right now, you lift it up to that level. And had the people of Judah, had they had held on to the promises, had they adjusted their feelings, it maybe had been a different story. Had they realized that, hey, God was going to save them, that he did have a plan for them, it might have changed their story. Listen, it's on the screen here, but it says when Jehosheba, and these are weird names, right? But anyway, you can practice them at home. But the daughter of King Jehoram took Joash, son of Isaiah, and stole him away from among the royal princes. Everybody say stole. All right, thank you. Stole him away from the royal princes who were about to be murdered and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. Because Josheba, the daughter of the king Jerome and wife of the priest of Jehoiada, was Isaiah's sister. That's crazy. I know you're following, right? A lot of stuff. Isaiah's sister, she hid the child from Athaliah so she could not kill him. Listen to this. He remained hidden. Everybody say hidden. He remained hidden with them at the temple of God for 6 years while Athaliah ruled the land. While you got to understand something, Josiah was the last remaining son of David. They had wiped out every son. They got the last one. And not only is he the last one, this destiny, this person who's going to hold on to the lineage of Jesus, he's also a baby. It turns out he was a baby. But here's the good news. It actually wasn't the end. It turns out that it wasn't even uncertain times. It wasn't even end times. I got a whole new vocabulary for you today. A whole new way to navigate your season of life. It wasn't the end times. It wasn't even the uncertain times. It'll be on the screen. It was just the meantime. Come on. It's just the meantime. You and I are just living in the meantime. They had a promise. The promise had not been fulfilled, but they weren't supposed to give up hope, man. They weren't supposed to give up on the promise. They were supposed to hold on to it. Listen to me. When life doesn't look like what God promised, can I say something to you? It's not the end times. It's the meantime. You're just in a meantime season. In fact, I said it this way. If your story doesn't end in victory, if your story doesn't end in victory, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. It just simply means this for you. It means that you are living, that your story is not over yet. If your story doesn't end the victory, that just means you're not at the end of your story. You're not at the end of your story yet. God has more. It's not over because I know what God has promised. It's just the meantime, right? Keep believing what God said he would do for your life. I think it's interesting in this scripture that the author uses the word stole, like they were stolen, and he uses the word hidden, and he uses them interchangeably. Because I think I want you to hear me, church people, if you've been in church for a while. I think there are things we think the devil has stolen, but God has really hidden. We think the devil's stolen these things from my life, but really, maybe God has just hidden them for now. And how many know there's a big difference between stolen and hidden? There's a big difference between me playing hide and seek with my son, Braden, and Braden being kidnapped. There's a big difference. I can't find him in both scenarios, but there is a difference. If he's stolen, I don't know if I'll ever see him again. But if he's hidden, hear me this morning, it's just a matter of time. If he's hidden, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. I think God wants you to know today that there are things in your life that you think are stolen. There are things in journey you've been on, you feel like things have been stolen from you. And I want to tell you, I don't know if they've necessarily been stolen, but maybe they're just hidden. And it's just a matter of time. Nothing is being stolen from our church. Maybe it's just that it's hidden and it's just a matter of time. You're not experiencing different things in your life and that you thought you would be experiencing it now. And hear me, it's not a matter of faith because that's what we like to do. Well, if only I had more faith, if only I believed more. Listen, it's not a matter of faith. It's not a matter of sin. It's not a matter of skill. It's not a matter of knowledge. I just think it's simply a matter of time. That what's going to happen, that dream, that reality, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. And some things in life, you just have to wait for. Come on. Nobody likes that. Yeah, I know. Some of you want to go home right now after I said that. Like, give it to me now, right? There's a reason why you're waiting. There's a reason why you're waiting. Things are hidden on purpose. And I believe this, man. Maybe those things are hidden from you for your maturation and for your development. The promises, I believe this when I looked at Josiah, like this whole thing, he was a baby, but he had to grow up. He had to grow up in order to walk in the promise that God had for him, right? The promise was in his blood, but the strength was not yet in this little baby's bones. How many of you know you can be ready and not ready for the next level all at the same time? Like you can have all the gifts, you can have all the talents, and you can be ready, but your character is not ready. You can have all that. Our church could be ready. Like we got talents, we got gifts, we got musicians, we got stuff, we got lights, we got all these things, but our people lack maturity and development and they're unable to move. And I believe this, God will hold it until you and I are ready. God, and I believe God holds back his promises to you from you, not because he's mean, but because I think he's being merciful. He's being merciful to you because he knows if he gave you what you wanted, it would stall your movement. You would stay right there where you are. Listen to me, it's not been stolen from you, it's been hidden. That's why you're getting no in your life, right? You know one of the best ways to know you're in the meantime? When you keep hearing no. When you keep hearing no. When the answer always seems to be no. I mean, can you imagine Joash? Like, he's a baby. He's 2 years old, 3 years old. Could you imagine? First of all, have you ever tried to keep a 1 or 2 year old quiet? Good luck. Praise God. Right? And now he's living in this temple. Someone's trying to kill him, and they have to keep this baby quiet for 6 years. I don't know about you, but I couldn't do it. Can you imagine how many times the priests that were in charge of him had to tell Joash, no. Now you're not going to always get your way. Like, could you imagine, like, hey, little baby Joash saying, can I go outside? And they're like, no, you will literally die if you go outside. That's not a good thing to tell a kid. What if he says, like, can we sing a song? And you're like, no, right? If you make a noise, they'll find you. Like Joash saying, can we play ball? He's like, no, you hit yourself in your head, you'll get hurt and you'll cry and they'll find you. Like, can I laugh? No, they'll find you. All of the no's, right, is a great way for you to know that you are in the meantime. Is there a prayer you've been asking God and he said no? Is there a door you're trying to open but it's not opening for you and you're getting a no? Is there an opportunity that just doesn't seem to be happening in your life? When you are getting no, you need to be encouraged. You need to encourage yourself because the no is just a sign that you're in the meantime. I wrote it down this way, and it'll be on the screen. It says, the season of obscurity, I believe this, the season of obscurity is often the prequel of the season of prosperity. In other words, those times, oftentimes when you don't think anyone recognizes you, you don't feel valued, maybe there's times you feel invisible, that you feel hidden, maybe you feel like your life doesn't have meaning, all those things line up. And I just think, hey, maybe that obscurity that you're going through is just a prequel that God is about to do something incredible in your life, where God is getting ready to do some of the biggest things that you could ever imagine with your life. And you know how Joash made it through those 6 years of no, 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 no? Hear me. I think it's because he was hidden in the temple. In other words, have you hidden your life in the presence of God? Does your life belong to him? Maybe you should see your difficulties as being hidden. Maybe see your prison, not as a prison, but as a temple. If God has got us in a season of waiting, maybe he's got you in a season of waiting. Maybe that season of waiting is for you to grow in your worship of him. Maybe it's that season of waiting is to help you grow in your trust in him. Maybe your season of waiting is so you simply just can appreciate all that God has done for you. God kept everyone out so that it could just be him and Joash. 6 years, 6+ years, just the two of them, right? Where they could have moments together, where they could talk together. Come on, what keeps you from the moments, right, where it's just you and God? What are the distractions in your life that keep you from those type of moments? You're waiting, right? You're waiting so that God can just be good to you. So your waiting is all about you developing a life between you and God, so that you can learn to worship him, so that you can learn to get close to him, so that you can learn to love God. I mean, here's this young kid living in the temple. I can only imagine the conversations and the experiences that he had with God. It was just him and the Lord. Can I just say to you, man, whatever your experience in life, church, the season is not a cell. Maybe your season is a sanctuary. Maybe it's not a cell, maybe it's a sanctuary. What's going to help you get through the season? What's going to help you get through whatever it is that you're going through? Learning to worship God, learning to trust God, learning to, in the midst of your wait, that you have hope and peace, in the midst of your wait, that you have someone you can talk to and you can rely on, in the midst of your uncertainty, you have this God who loves you and cares for you and is full of certainty. That's what helps us. I want to just bring this to a close here. Second, he swoops over to 2 Chronicles 23. We see what's happening here where Joash, it's now the 7th year. And in the 7th year of Jehoiada showed his strength and he made a covenant with the commanders of the units of 100. Go down to verse 2. It says, they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites, who were the priests, and the heads of the Israelite family. So all the leaders got together from all the towns. And when they came to Jerusalem, the whole assembly, they made a covenant with the king at the temple of God. Jehoiada said to them, the king's son shall reign as the Lord promised concerning the descendants of David. It's an amazing thing what's happened. Hear me. I just want to say to you this morning, church, whoever you are, wherever you're at in life, I just want to say, I can't wait till God reveals to you what you thought was dead. I can't wait for God to reveal in your life what you thought was dead. I can't wait for you to see the things that you thought was over become a reality in your life. Can't wait for you to see those things, for God to reveal it and say, it wasn't dead. I had things for your life. It wasn't dead. You thought it was dead. You were full of uncertainty. I can't wait for God to reveal those things. You know what? It wasn't dead in your life. It was just hidden. I was just waiting for you to catch up with me. I was just waiting for those things. And the time will come just as God has promised. And you will know it. You will know it. You're not just living in a meantime. Listen, I want to say to you, you will not be in meantime forever. That's where it gets discouraging for us. We're like, well, am I ever going to get out of meantime? You're not going to live in meantime forever. One day your time will come. One day our time will come. And I'm going to go the extra mile today, or the extra thought for you is simply this. There is a perfect time. And you know what it's called? God's time. There is a perfect time, and it's called God's time. And I don't know about you, but I want to move in that perfect time. I want to move in that perfect. I want to move in God's time, right? Listen, I wrote this down and said, the perfect time is not a matter of precision. Because here's how we live Christian life in America. It's like, well, if I do this, then God will do this. Well, if we sing the right song, then God will obviously move. If the pastor just says the right words and does the right things, if he smiles at me, I mean, if we do all these things, then God will move. If we put these certain things, it's all about precision. And we think, well, you know what? The perfect time is a matter of precision, when we do everything right. Can I tell you that it's not a matter of precision? I think the perfect time is a declaration of submission. That's the perfect time. When you get to a place in your life where you say, you know what, God, it's just you I want. God, not my way, but your way. Let's get that place of submission where you say, God, it's not about me. God, it's my hope, my joy is in you and nothing else. God, I worship you. It's at that place of submission, the declaration of submission, where you say, God, everything else is meaningless as it relates to you. Listen, some of us are like, I want to do all these things, but is it the right time for me? Can I tell you, man, the perfect time is when, whatever that time is when you decide to lay it all down and say, you know what, I just trust Jesus. That's the perfect time. I don't want to be ahead of you, God, nor do I want to be behind you. I want to be right here waiting for you. And when you come and when the time is right, I will move with you. I will move with you. It's not a matter of when, it's just a matter of who. And when Jesus says, let's go, we're gonna go. Listen, I think it's significant that Joash was 7 years old when he took the throne. I think it's significant, right? Something happens to your child when they turn 7 years old. We know that 7 is a significant number throughout the word of God, but listen to me. I just knew that something significant had to happen at 7 years old, so I did the only thing I knew to do, because I went to Google, because Google knows everything, and they're right, right? So I went to Google, and I just Googled milestones of 7-year-olds, like kids at milestones, and I came up with this website called Grow MD, Your Child at 7 Milestones. Literally, and this is some of the milestones it gave me. Number one, by age 7, your child should understand the concept of numbers. By age 7, your child should understand the concept of numbers. Number two, it says by age 7, your child should know day from night and left from right. This next one confused me a little bit, but it says by age 7, they can repeat 3 numbers backwards. I'm like, that's easy. 9, I messed up. 8, 7, that's harder than you think it is, right? But then I heard the last one. Don't put it up yet, but I heard the last one, and it all made sense to me. I knew when I read this last milestone, I thought, now that's a sermon right there. The last milestone of a 7-year-old simply said this: by age 7, they can tell time. They can tell time. Here's what I mean. If you go over another chapter, 2 Chronicles 24, I'm not going to read you, but just go over another chapter. Joash has finally become the king. And you know what the first thing he did when he became king? The first thing he does when he becomes king, he repairs the temple. Why repair the temple? I mean, but I thought about, well, who better to repair the temple than the person who's been living in it for 7 years? Like, Joash probably knew where every crack was. He probably every knew where every weird, funky smell was in the place. He probably knew where the right stains on the carpet or in the ceiling, whatever were. He knew every flaw. And when he finally got out of his waiting season, his 7-6 years of waiting, when he got out of his waiting season, he realized what all this waiting was for. In other words, he was able to tell what he was waiting for. He was able to understand why he was waiting. It wasn't waiting. You know what it was? It was working. It was working. When you're able to tell time, even in the meantime, when you're able to tell time, even in the meantime, it's the perfect time. That there's no time wasted. Some of us like, well, whenever God does it for me, wherever he moves me, well, then I'll do this. How many know, like, maybe in the waiting time, maybe in the meantime, God's asking us to work. In the middle of all that you're going through and you're experiencing, maybe God's still saying, hey, no, this is your time. This is your time to do something. There is no time wasted. God knows exactly what he's doing in your life, even though you feel like you're lost. He knows exactly what he's doing in your life. He's getting you ready for the next thing he has for you. This might be an uncertain time, but I also think that it's the perfect time. It might be uncertain for you right now, but it's the perfect time. It may seem uncertain, but I also think that it's the perfect time. Hear me, I believe for us as a church and you as an individual, this is the perfect time to move. This is the perfect time for you to submit your life to him. This is the perfect time for forgiveness. This is the perfect time to just let go. This is the perfect time to give Jesus your life. I know that it's uncertain time, but it's a perfect time to believe. Listen, I know that it's a perfect time. It's an uncertain time, but it's the perfect time for you and I to cry out to God. I know that it's uncertain time, but it's the perfect time for you and I to dream together. I know that it's uncertain times, but it's the perfect time for us to hope. I know that it's an uncertain time, but hear me, it's the perfect time to declare the promises of God over your life. I know that these are uncertain times, but it's the perfect time to praise and to worship. It's the perfect time to lift up our voices and to lift up our lives to God. It's an uncertain time, but hear me, I think it's a perfect time. It's a perfect time to declare that God has not given up on me. It's a perfect time to declare that God has not given up on you, that it's a perfect time to declare that God has not given up on us. It's a perfect time to move. I know it's uncertain times, but I believe this, it's the perfect time for revival. I know it seems uncertain. How could God move in an uncertain time like this? It's the perfect time for revival. Man, if you're needing a miracle in your life, it is the perfect time for miracles. If you need the supernatural to become a reality to you, then it's a perfect time for the supernatural. If you are one of those people who's like, I just need the Spirit of God to move in my life and in our church, this is the perfect time. I know it feels uncertain times, but it's the perfect time for us as a church to move. Listen to me. It's not just the meantime, it's the perfect time. I want to encourage you today. Can we move forward with God? Wherever your relationship is with him, man, this is the perfect time to move forward. This is the perfect time in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of your meantime, where it's like, man, I'm at a stall point. This is the greatest, the most perfect time. Nothing catches God by accident. Nothing is happenstance. Everything is intentional. Whatever you're fighting through, it may seem like a meantime. It may seem like an uncertain time, but I'm just here to tell you, man, it is the perfect time. It is the perfect time. You've been waiting. It's the perfect time. I just think for us as a church and you and as an individual, this is the perfect time for us this morning to pray a prayer of submission. This is a prayer that just simply says, hey, God, this is the perfect time for me to lay down my life to you, God. This is the perfect time to lay down everything that I've been taught and thought that I thought this is how I had God in a box. It's time to really open the box and say, it's a perfect time to just let God be God in my life. It doesn't make any sense, man. Everything I'm facing doesn't make sense. The meantime, while I'm waiting, why shouldn't I just wait here until God does show up? I think you wait here and you go after it. And as you go after it, man, you watch, it'll be the perfect time in your life. You'll see things happen that you never thought could happen. You'll experience things. You'll wake up in the morning with a joy and a peace like you've never had before, simply because you changed your mindset to say, you know what? No matter what I'm going through, no matter how uncertain it is, it's the perfect time for God to do something in my life. The perfect time for Jesus. If you would stand with me this morning, I've asked team men, they're just going to lead us in this song, and it's just a simple words, but you know what? It is a song of declaration. It is a song of declaration of submission. It just simply says, God, I give you my heart. Just give you my heart. And I want to encourage you, if you're at that place, like you feel like you're in a meantime, or you're really overtaken by the uncertainty of what's happening, and you just need to say, hey, maybe for you, I just say, this is the perfect time. The perfect time for our church and for God to move and have his way. It's in the meantime, in the uncertain times, where I think God shines the best. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been there before. You've been in the meantime, and you've been in the uncertain time where God has come through and he showed up real big in your life, and you can attest to it. But you know what? There's some of us in here who are just at that stalled place, and you're like, man, how do we move forward? That's our prayer for you at a church. We don't want to be a church that's stalled. I want to be a church that says, hey, this is the perfect time for God to do what he wants to do. Amen? So let's just worship him just for a moment. You feel led, man, we have altars open. If you just want to worship where you're at, but let's take a moment and let's make this declaration to God. Lord, I give you my heart this morning. In Jesus' name.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.